We're going to continue looking at the message I started last Sunday night about our God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we saw this in part in Jacob's life, how that we know that looking at his life, God planned the best for him. And we also know that as God planned the best for Jacob, he plans the best for us. He took a home that looked like that nothing promising was going to take place in that home life, yet God just reached in and just lifted out Jacob, and what a marvelous plan he had for Jacob's life. We also looked at last Sunday night, not just that God plans his best for us, but that God always protects us through the discipline in our lives that every one of us needs. Jacob had a 40-some years worth of discipline, and I dare say that some of us might have had some of the same time. We're about that old enough to know that. And so we know that we go through discipline, but God protects us all the way through discipline in our lives. Now, we're going to pick up tonight and look at two more facets of Jacob's life and see how that God indeed does protect us through our times of trouble, and that God promises us redemption and blessings. So let's look at those thoughts together. First of all, our God provides for us in times of trouble. Look with me, please, in the book of Genesis to chapter number 32. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12 there. Genesis 32, verse 1 through 12. And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother, unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau, thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks, and men servants and women servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." See how God provides for us in our time of trouble, just like he did here in the life of Jacob. Now, you remember, Jacob and Esau had parted a long time ago. He had spent now 40 years with Laban. So they'd been apart a long time. And if you remember the story of Jacob and Esau, and I know that you do, you'll remember that they parted on some pretty bad terms. And for all these years now, it was time for them to come back and meet again. And so Jacob sends out messengers ahead to talk to Esau and find out if they could some information and bring back to Jacob. So they go, they talk to Esau, and they come back, and here's what they say. "Your brother Esau is coming to meet you with 400 men. And the Bible says Jacob greatly feared. What would you have done? If you had parted on bad company with your brother over 40-some years ago, and now you're finding out he's going to come to meet you, and he's bringing 400 men with him, I'm sure Jacob thought, this is not a welcome home party with 400 men. Well, so Jacob goes to prayer unto the Lord in verse 11. Look at it again. He prays and he asks the Lord, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. These new Bible pages are terrible sometimes. I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. So he fears greatly. Wouldn't you have feared? What would you have thought? It is inevitable, folks. Listen to me. It's inevitable that every single one of us at some time and another are going to go through some dark time in our lives. Times that we absolutely dread to have to face. Sometime it may be a person you may dread to have to face. But we all know, don't we, from our life experience, that we're all going to go through some of these times of trouble, dark times, dreadful times, just like he was facing right here. Maybe, right now in your life, there may be something in your life that you're dreading to face. It may be something or someone that you really dread to have to face, but it's inevitable that you're going to have to face them, so you dread it, don't you? This is a time, beloved, in our lives when the flesh fails us, doesn't it? And many times the heart fails us too, doesn't it? It did here, I'm sure, in the life of Jacob. Jacob seemed like he was now standing on a little small piece of ground all alone with no one to help him and his brother and 400 men on the march to meet him. He had come to the place in his life, I believe, that he felt and he understood that no one could help him. No one could reach him but God. Have you ever been there? I've been there in my own life at a point in time when I knew nobody could help me. I knew nobody could reach me. Nobody could do anything for me. But I had to just trust the Lord. Well, that's exactly where Jacob was now. Everything looked in Jacob's life like it looked pretty fatal. Here comes my brother, and he's a mighty man. He's got 400 men with him. Well, Jacob's joy and Jacob's happiness would have really rocked and reeled had it not been for God stepping in his life again and God doing something in his life. What does Jacob's example say to us today? Does it have anything at all to say to us today? I'll tell you what it says to me. Centuries ago, God stepped in for Jacob. Now, here we are today on the other side of Calvary. Look at me now. Listen. We're on the other side of Calvary. We who are saved are in Christ Jesus, and we have all the resources through Christ in heaven, both in earth. And Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. So look what we have on our behalf, even as Jacob had on his behalf centuries ago. And we're called on in our lives, aren't we, to pass through some very dark times, sometimes some dangerous times, some dreadful times, sometimes dreadful places. But look, just like it was with Jacob, if we'll get along with God, we'll pray to him and trust him and cling to him, he'll bring us through. Look at Jacob's life and you can see it right here. He just clung to God because God's the only one he had to cling to. Well, so he clung to God with a great determination in his own life. He felt that God alone stood between him and his brother and those 400 men that he brought with him. Well, if you'll stick with God, if you'll cling to him, whatever it is you face in your life, doesn't matter how dark, how dim, how dangerous, what it may be, God will bring you through if you just cling to him and you trust in him. But I'll tell you something else. Look at Jacob, for example. He'll not only bring you through, he'll bring you through a better person. And a brighter person, I'm sure. A happier person. A more noble person who can sing the praises of God, who triumphed through the hard times and brought you through on a note that even angels cannot even sing. You'll sing with triumph when you come through the worst things in your life and realize it was God who brought you through. It was a God of all grace, the God of all comfort. Remember, when you get into trouble, the God of Jacob will carry you through in peace if you'll trust Him, cling to Him. Look at Jacob just again. He nor we will come through these terrible times of trouble as a poor, battered, broken-hearted creature. We're going to come through them like Jacob did, as a prince who has power with God and power with man as well. Well, this is the God of Jacob. He's our refuge today. He's our help in time of trouble, is He not? So as we look at Jacob's life and see how the Lord brought him through this hard, dark time in his life and brought him through in victory, He'll do the same for you that He does for him. Now, there's a fourth thing about Jacob's life I want you to see. Not just that God will provide in time of trouble, but also look at this in Jacob's life. God promises us redemption, and He promises us a blessing. Now turn over with me to the same chapter, same book, Genesis. Look at chapter number 48. I want to read some passage there. Genesis chapter 48. And it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, "God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, when I came from Paddan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephraim, and I buried her there in the way of Ephrath, the same is Bethlehem. Joseph and Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, Who are these? And Joseph said unto his father, They are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, Bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God has showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them. This is a tender passage. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now we come to a point in time in Jacob's life that he's old, his eyes were dim, that he couldn't see, and it's going to be very soon that Jacob was going to die. Now, I know I've only summarized a great portion of Jacob's life. I would encourage you to take the time and go back into the book of Genesis and read the whole account of Jacob's life from beginning to the end. We're just now at the very end of Jacob's life. Joseph was told, your father, Israel, Jacob, Joseph was told, your father is sick, and he's going to die soon. So Joseph takes his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and he goes to his father's bedside to see him. Notice what old Jacob said to Joseph on his deathbed. He blessed him. He blessed Joseph, and he blessed his two sons. He then testified, listen to me, he testified that God had fed him all the days of his life, and God had redeemed him from all evil. How wonderful it would be if all of us could come to our deathbed with that same testimony, that God has fed me all the days of my life, and God has redeemed me from all evil. What a testimony. What a witness here. I don't know that anybody could say this like Jacob unless they had the God of Jacob who had fed them and redeemed them and cared for them all their life. And he said, God has redeemed me from all evil. Now, what evil had Jacob faced? There's a lot of things involved in that little word, all evil. Now, think about it. Jacob went through circumstances in his life. He went through catastrophes in his life. He went through calamities in his life, tragedies in his life, sorrows in his life, anguish in his life, dismay in his life. What's covered in that little word, evil? But God has redeemed me, he said, from all evil. He looked back upon his own life and said, God has not left me in the grip of any evil. Now I can die with my eyes undimmed and my vision unclouded. Now I know his physical sight was failing, but his spiritual sight was the clearest it had ever been in Jacob's life. Now he said, I'm ready to face God with my vision unclouded and my eyesight clearer than ever. And in eternity, he said, I will bless his name who redeemed me from all evil in this dark world of sin in which we live today. One day in eternity, we'll be able to stand forth and give a glorious testimony how, dear God, the Lord God of Jacob, you have delivered me from all evil in this dark world in which we're living today. Notice, in verse 11, as Jacob prayed, much of Jacob's life's distresses came from the fact that he had lost Joseph. He thought Joseph was dead. He thought he'd never see Joseph again. But notice, he testifies and he said, on his deathbed, I never thought, Joseph, I'd see you again. But lo, God has provided not only to give you back to me, but he gave me back the two sons that you had in Egypt. Now God brings Jacob to the crowning point of his life. Listen to me. If you'll trust God, you'll cling to him. I promise you, before you die, before God gets through with us, God will bring us to a crowning point in all of our lives before God is through using us. Because you see, he's our help in time of trouble. He's our refuge, just as it was with Jacob. But I want you to notice something. We've been looking at the God of Jacob, the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. God has a higher name than the God of Jacob. He's also the God and Father of our precious Lord Jesus Christ, isn't he? And if he could do all this for Jacob centuries ago, what do you think our Lord Jesus can do for us today with all the resources of heaven at his disposal, all the power in heaven and in earth at the very disposal of Jesus Christ? Yes, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Will you give him a chance to do for you what he did for Jacob? Who wouldn't rejoice in having a God like Jacob? The God of Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone might say, well, preacher, I wished I'd heard this a long time ago. You see, I'm old now, and most of my life is past. I don't have but a bit of life left. Well, give God the bit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Old Vance Havner used to say, let Jesus Christ be Lord of whatever's left in your life. Amen? Well, I want to give you a bit of testimony for my life. A long time ago, my Lord reached out and touched me. And he asked me to give him all of my life. And I did. And a little while later, he touched me again. And he said, I want you to preach the gospel. And I said, Lord, with your help, I will. And I've been preaching the gospel, or attempting to preach the gospel, for more than 46 years to this day. Not for the whole world would I give it up. Amen. Nothing in my heart I desire more than to preach the gospel. Nothing I could think of I'd rather do than serve the Lord. And you see, what God did in Jacob's life, he's willing to do in your life and in my life. What is it, I remind us again, what is it he did for Jacob all his life? He touched him, lifted him out. He first of all had the best plans in the world for Jacob. God has a better plan for your life and mine than we do. Oh, I had my life all planned out when God touched me to call me to preach. I'd already set my sails on a course of business. Had a wonderful job, good opportunity. A company was paying my education, promised me a good high-paying job when I got through. But God said, I want you to preach. And so I turned. God had a better plan for my life than I did. He has a better plan for your life than you do. But also notice this about Jacob and ourselves. He also protects us through all those years of discipline that he brings us through. Why does he discipline us so? Jacob for 40 years, some of us for many, many years. Why does he do this? So he can use us for his plans and purposes, for his glory from our lives. So he plans for the best for us. He provides for us when we are under discipline. He also protects us when we see the hard, troublous times come into our lives. And then at the end, he promises us redemption and blessing. I don't know about you, but I'm on the redemption and blessing side, amen? Amen. I'm not going to live much longer. Many of us won't. We've got no guarantee we'll live tomorrow, but age tells us, at best, we don't have much longer. And I want to be ready to face my God like Jacob did, with eye undimmed and vision unclouded. I want to be able to face Him one day and say, hear Him say, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of your Lord. Yes, our God, the God of Jacob, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday and today and forever. You know what I'm glad He is?
Amen.
Let's stand together.